saying that in line with what Rebbe was saying on Shabbos morning, that Shira comes from, right? Like I've heard Rebbe even in the timepieces, also Rebbe mentions that Yechezkel would have, Chizkiyahu would have brought Mashiach had said Shira, right. But it seems that it wasn't necessarily a chesaron or a gnai in a pa'ula that he should have done. Rather, he never reached a certain level because there are things that have to come together to reach that level of saying Shira.
Correct.
So with Shlomo HaMelech, was there, when he wrote Shirashim, was there a certain maisa? Was it in connection with the Beis HaMikdash? Like, where does this, you know, it wasn't Yashir.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, the truth is, Shir Shirim though it's a lot further than a particular event in Klal Yisrael. It's killed the Klolius, like we're learning Shir Shirim now. It's all of Klal Yisrael's the sum total of Klal Yisrael's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you know, it's the big picture. So I assume that for that I was shy to have Shira already then. That's my guess at that.
So he could have written it at any time, meaning he didn't need something to prompt him, something to stimulate him to get to that level of being able to express the Shira?
Because he was reflecting on it's the one song of all of Klal Yisrael in all its layers together. It's the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That's what the song is. It's incredible. It's everything. So that's why it says Kol Hashem Kodesh, and this is Kodesh Kadoshim. It includes the entirety of everything. That's the mashmaos of it.
So would we say it's kind of like Perek Shira in the sense that this relationship expresses Shira on a constant basis, meaning it's overall. It's not
right.
A moment in time, and therefore you know, he got to a level at some point, maybe all the time, where he could articulate. So it was, I guess, a nuanced difference than the Shira Shirim of the Yom Tov that required a specific moment in time. This is more.
Better said, this Shira itself was the entirety of Klal Yisrael. In other words, for whatever reason, he was able to say Shira, the Shira of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's an entirety of it coming together. That would be kind of the most.
Okay,
good. I think we're holding in the Pirish Beis, Kimigdal David Tzavarech.
Yes.
Kimigdal David Tzavarech. Oymet Tzavarech sheboitolu kol chiyos aguf bekorno veshet. So this is, the Tzavar is a very, very interesting nekuda. The Tzavar itself, even though it's not a particular aver, but it's a certain nexus, certain junction that contains the entire chiyus of a person. Now, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that a person and every Baal Chai needs to have two inputs in order for a person to live, or any animal. That's air and food. And both of their input would be through the tzavar. The shechita would be when you cut that, you lost the chiyus. You basically cut off the input of chiyus, and that's where a person it goes. So al kaponim, the tzavar is a very chashuv makom, even though it doesn't look, there's no particular organ in it, but it's the pesach that includes the two most vital in Yanim of Chiyus in a person, the Simonim, and that's what you have over there. So he says, "Vahu kimigdal shamelach David." Vigam ato gov. So in a sense, it would be similar if a person captures a migdal, he's able to get the whole city. So here also, he's able to get the whole mitzias. Vigam ato gavoya meshichem cholamaylek ma migdal shubanet tapias. For Migdolos Shamelech Mamidim Le Abba Ruch Sa'ir Shu Yoshibo. Ukolom Beshem Migdol Uboy Tolu Elof Maginim Shekola Chayel Oimdim Sham. Bezeo Shulta Gibber. So in other words, sometimes you have an important aver, sometimes you have an important nekuda, where if you cut that nekuda, everything goes. I don't know if it's true or not, but when I was a kid, they had like the wrestling matches, they would have the guy who knew how to do a judo chop would touch a certain nekuda in the neck, and the other guy would turn unconscious. I'm not sure if it was, you know, if it was a show or it was Emes Lamita, Rosh Hashanah, same idea. There's always a nekuda. Now, what is that nekuda? So he says, the Inyan Koyal Sanhedrin Shoybi Yerushalayim, or behem tolu chiyus Yisrael k'may betzava. So the Sanhedrin Yerushalayim had that chiyus. So you have two passageways, and both of them are that. So he brings from before that it says the actual four Sanhedrin goes elef hamogen tolu zekoy alachesh amazge elef v'shulta gibayim kanal shigbar saviv lavachulu. So even though the goyim could have learned that we're talking about the Beis Hamikdash, Migdal Dovid Tzavarech, one could have learned it. It's interesting that he chose to speak about the Sanhedrin. Now, I think the pshat is it's like the Gemara says that when Yanai HaMelech killed out the Sanhedrin, and he said Torah Zunachas Bekeren Zovis Kolaritza Yito, that's Kfir. It says, because Torah Shabbal Peh comes dafka through a mahalach, through. So that it's just like the mashal, the Torah is in the brain, but the conduit from the brain down to the body goes through the neck, not the two corners, not the koneveshet, but becholayfin through nerves. But the neck is the conduit for that. So too, the Sanhedrin is the tzinar for it. And that's that has to be very, very strong. That's why the neck is a strong place, because it contains such vital elements. In a certain sense, it's kind of the guf. If we say to ourselves, the guf is yonik, it's chiyus from the roish, and the hechetimtza for the havaras achiyus is these tzinoiris or the tzavar by from klali. And that's what it is. Okay. Shnei shadayach k'shnei afarim te'oimei tzviya haroyim b'shoshanim. So now we're talking about shadayim. Shnei shadayach he'moshe v'aren shei menikim li'yisrael k'shadayim. V'chein l'deiris v'koy la'melech v'koyin gadol. So if we're talking about individual institutions that are main in Klal Yisrael, so we're talking about Moshe and Aaron. We're not talking about Moshe as the nice and totally Israel, because that already is covered with the Sanhedrin. Rather, we're talking about Melech and Kohen Gadol. Melech and Kohen Gadol are both Mefarnes Klal Yisrael. The famous Gemara that they came to David Melech and they said they have nothing to eat. And they said, Tzur Pishti Yideichem, Big Dud, and they went and so on. There was a certain element of the king is responsible that the tzibur has what they need to have. So the kahuna, the avoida is the way it's written is that the avoida causes there to be shef in Klal Yisrael. Kohen Gadol is mispal for geshem. The hashpa of toiv in a physical sense comes down through the kohen. The male of the kohen is that tzinor v'hashpa. V'chein l'doyrus v'koyal ha'melech kohen gadol, ha'melech b'olam haza, kohen gadol b'olam haba. So he speaks more about the olam haza olam haba. L'maisa, even the kohen, I think you can say, like I said, that it's going on the it's tachlis. We're talking about a physical hashpa. If you look at the, the avoda if you look at the avoda in Yom Kippur, So afterwards, we say that, you know, they went back home and everything grew and everything was did well and the Geshem and so on and so forth.
Rabbi, is it interesting that the Melech was, I mean, I know it is really Lechatchila, but it's also not really Lechatchila, that they really weren't supposed to have a Melech. So if it's so innate in Klal Yisrael, right, this the way they share Hashem is articulating the relationship, right. You know, is a Melech the one who's manic Klal Yisrael to this degree, and it's something that Lechatchila they shouldn't have had it? Is there something right. like...
So I believe that the Pshat is that it says Vashem Malkom Hoylech Lefnehem. There could be an Haga that's directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Inyan, and when they asked for Melech Basav Adam Kechol HaGoyim, so they wanted this Hanhaga to be a lot more Tevedic, and that's where there was this problem. I think that that's the way to understand.
Because then it would look like the progression is a little odd, because if Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech, right. and then so subsequent generations had their Ribbono Shel Olam, so they were even, meaning they didn't even need Moshe Rabbeinu, they were on a higher level, and then they dropped down because they wanted someone.
Moshe Rabbeinu was Mashrish. Moshe Rabbeinu, Emes, he was Mashrish, the Musig of Malchus Yisrael. It says that he was four things in one day. The musig that is essential malchus, and everybody's but essential malchus, that Moshe put in the Klal Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu was a darga where it was effectively a Kaddish Baruch Hu's anhaga. The fact that they afterwards didn't want to continue with that, with a Kaddish Baruch Hu's anhaga, and instead wanted a bas adam, that's where the sochi started. What's interesting is there's two uniques here. The place, the time in Klal Yisrael we got messed up was when the Chashmonaim took over the Malchus and refused to budge from it. So it's very interesting. We'd expect that if the Chelik of that the Chelik of Gashmi would take over both of them, that would be bad. Here it says that the Chelik of Ruchni, the Kohen took over, the Kohen took over both, and it wasn't good. So the two Yanikas that Kaisel have was spoiled when the Kohen took over both. I think the Pshat was that what happened was the Kohanim went down in Darga. It wasn't the Pshat that they presented an elevated Anhaga of Ruchnius. Fakert, they took Kohuna, and they were very, very, I don't know what the right word, say down to earth. They were very, very me'urev in Inyan HaGashmis, and that's probably where there was a problem.
Uh-huh. So Rabbi wouldn't say a vart, like I think Rabbi said from Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, that a neshama without a guf is a mazik.
Right.
We wouldn't say a vart like that in this Inyan, that even...
You know, that's not a bad sushtel. But I don't know, maybe I'll tell you what Reb Chaim meant when he said that and why it could apply. Let's take an example. If you take somebody, I guess it segues to Ventura for Life. If you take somebody who's sitting in Beis Medrash and learning pure Torah and he's Kolkol Davar Hirash Baruch Hu, so that's a very, very Heilig Adar Ben Yid. Let's say this person has no wherewithal, no smarts, no ability to be noyeg in this world. So he starts becoming destructive. I know Maisa Shahoya, there was somebody who was learning Chashving Aman. They went to buy an apartment. That's a strong apartment, is, you know, your life savings plus, so on and so forth. The person was a businessman. He handled whatever it was. They were unhappy with the deal they got. So on the one hand, they trusted him sort of like he's a dorm roommate, that he's out for their benefit. It wasn't that he cheated him, Chas v'Shalom. He was not a person, but, you know, he was looking for his company. He wasn't looking out for them. So they were so upset, they went to him over fast in the newspaper about him, that he's a terrible person. They really... And so I was thinking to myself, it's because they were lacking the wherewithal to deal with it. In on the one hand, they didn't know how to deal in Yani Olam. This is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be bargaining. This is what you expect. This is what you don't expect. This is what you have to write out. This you don't have to write out. And Mirach Gisa, then they just went on a rampage and did things that you shouldn't do. You know, and you know, it's a... Both of them are kind of a... both ends of it are lacking. That's why if a neshama has no guf, it doesn't have a way to get around this world. And it becomes destructive. I think that was probably closest to Reb Chaim's mechuvet. You don't know how to deal with in this world, so you do crazy things. You do stupid things, you know.
So that could explain exactly why the Chashmonaim were chaser when they took on the Malucha.
It could be. I mean, Lamaisa, they needed to do it for a short time. That was Eis Lasas Lashem. That's clear. For a longer time, it created a problem. And, you know, but they were within two deiris. The Malchus was basically it's Stuki Malchus, a Hamisiabdika Malchus. It's incredible. in other words, it would mean that it wasn't so much a punishment that they were destroyed. It was Kila Kadosh Baruch Hu embedded it in the Bria that Malchus sits well only with Shevet Yehuda. And when you move the Malchus, the Olam of Malchus, over to some other than Yehuda, you're going to have a problem. They're not Sugepas for it, not Oiskeshel for it. Hamelchus Akagolo Haba, Keshnei Afarim, She Rotzim Tei Yisrael Kafarim, Shein Tzvoyim Ketanim. So, to Oime Tzviya, Kamesh Kosev, Moshe V'Aaron, V'Aaron Moshe Lamed, She Yishneim Shkulim. It's very interesting. He says she rotzim lefnei Yisrael shehein tzvoyim ktanim veifam shehein tzvoyim ktanim. Now, the musig of rotzim lefnei is always a musig of somebody serving somebody else. Says if somebody's used to being wealthy and he's yared min chasov, yechiv tzedak is to give a sus leikrev and an eved lorutz lefanov. So the ritzel lefanov is always a sign of avdus. The Gemara says, the Rashi brings it that, you know, srora nois lechem, avdus ani matla lechem. But that be'emes dizan hagis are all a p'chin of avdus. It's that their metzias is a chetimtza for Klal Yisrael. It's not their own metzias. It's a chetimtza Klal Yisrael. So the musig of being the eved rotz lefanav, I think, is embedded in this. And the job of Malchus and Zekunus is to run before them. And then it says shereshtem shkulim. So now, I don't know why this is. I mean, in a yoni guf, everything in a guf that's not shokel is not nice. For instance, two ears, one small, one long, it's not nice. Two hands, one longer, one shorter, is not nice. The idea of having a shadayim would also be. You know, any disproportion of Eivarim is not nice. But over here, we're talking about two different anhagis, anhaga volum hashba volum hazam hab, like he says. And over here also, he's saying that their being equal is of the milas, which is fascinating. In other words, the hashba of the two have to go hand in hand. So I don't think it means, you know, you get as much two pieces of steak, two pieces of haba. I, you know, I don't know how you compare these two things, but it's like you said before about the neshama without a guf, the guf and neshama have to work in tandem. If for every chelik of neshama that there is, there has to be guf, or else it doesn't, or else it becomes, you know, a mazik. For every chelik of guf, there has to be neshama, or else it's dead weight. In other words, the perfect balance between the two is important, because since Tzuras Adam is a mizug of the Chaim and the Geshem, it requires that there be a full balance between the two, or else it's you either have extra flesh or unprotected neshama.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this Nakuda, I think is a very profound point that in how people are actually perceiving or understanding the Arches Chaim. Like, from what I've, the Ben Torah for Life, I've seen from different people that I've spoken to that my generation, who sat in Kollel and learned, used this the way I think it was ideally intended, as a transition, where this was one message I always got. It kind of conflicted with the reality that I have to live with. You know, right. This is what I'm going to do to reconcile. I also found that the previous generation from before mine, I guess my father's age, people between the ages of, I don't know, 45 and 60 or 70, and this is what actually a gentleman mentioned at the Q&A on Sunday night, I found that people are using it as validation for that generation, which did not really learn in Kollel, to say, look, we didn't learn in Kollel, but right. There's a Mila over learning in Kollel when you could do the mitzvahs, when you could do the Torah, you know, to get and Maisim Tovim, when you could mix the Ruchnias together with the Gashmias, that has an inherent Maila, which I think a gentleman was asking at the Q&A. So right. The way I understood this concept is that Lechat Chilosh, you know, Shevet Levi is ideal. They're unique. There's only a few of them. They're the Manhigim. And to be part of that is, you know, is a unique opportunity. If you can't do that, not that it's v'diyeved to go out to work, you know, to do that. It is l'chatchila, but it's l'chatchila for 90, you know, for the other 97% of Klal Yisrael. But other people are taking it and saying that it's better than Shevet Levi, which I never understood. If I make $100 million tomorrow, then I'm going back to yeshiva in a heartbeat, because that's a better life in Avodas Hashem. Does Rebbe, you know, see these two nekudas, and how does that play in with what we're saying over here?
So a few points. They are, okay, point one that they're right in is, by definition, those people have less nisyonos because they never came from a different place. So obviously, I grew up in a generation where we saw and heard a lot of things. So when we see it in the street, it's less mashpia. On the other hand, it means we start with a severe flaw. Tachlis, you know, to say it is correct that people who the chatchila have a lower sviva are going to be less affected by the transition. But that's not machmas maila. I don't use a mashal Chanshavitz gave, but Chanshavitz is to say about, it says that we spoke about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mekadosh Klal Yisrael, that, you know, we shouldn't eat shrotzim and so on. So he said, a dog, when he eats garbage, doesn't throw up, and I do. It's not because the dog is better than me. It's because I'm more sensitive than he is. My stomach is a lot more sensitive. So the fact that they're able easier to cope in that world, and they don't go through that that crisis, is correct. Doesn't come machmas so much maila. It comes machmas, okay. So just like Lamash in the old days, a person who grew up, let's say, a little bit before my times, and he went to work and he had a store on Orchard Street, he was very happy. Today, a person who has a store on Orchard Street would be very unhappy. He's, you know, he'd make it in college and make it here and make it there. So here also, it's not coming machmas mal yusuf, it's coming machmas on risar. What the person doesn't understand, I think, is as follows. When a person who understands the Olam HaMitzvahs better, mitzad the halacha shabai, mitzad the Torah shabai, mitzad the Muslim like that, so the Olam HaMitzvahs that he's engaged in is much more profound. he sits in a shul and davens, that's wonderful, and all the credit for that. But he sits in his, and he's Mishra Mishabbos, and it's a big mistake, there's a lot of credit for that. But he doesn't begin to understand the malachis, the dinim, the so doing things with understanding is a much, much deeper way of doing something than not understanding. And that's something that he need, you know, that's something that the person was not, you know, didn't have. He grew up in that place. He can't understand it because he doesn't know Ma'inaf Kimina. So he doesn't know the Kabbalah. But a person who had that intense learning faces a crisis. The world is new. If you've always seen girls, this, that, and the other thing, you obviously have less of a crisis when you enter that world. People went to co-ed schools and flipped out and became frum and out to show. When they go back, it's less of a problem for them, obviously, but that's not the reason to go to co-ed school. It, you know, it means that most people never get out of it. And the understanding that now, and where are you supposed to use your ruchnias? That depends on the person. There's a Sefer Hasidim that says a person who can make a lot of money, support other people, should be doing that, not learning. Rabbi Moshe Shapiro told somebody, or somebody in England, who had learned the Kirla for a short time, who was mishuga about going into, his father had a worldwide business, went into that business, did extremely well, he split off on his own, but did very well. And at some point, he started getting back into learning and more and more. And finally, he had enough money to quit. And he asked Rabbi Moshe Shapiro and Rabbi Nosson Tzvi about quitting and learning full time. And they both told him the same thing. Rabbi Moshe Shapiro told him this nusach. There's yisachas in the world and there's zvulans. If you can be as a good yisach as you are a zvulan, nobody has the right to impose on you to be a zvulan. But if you would be a phenomenal zvulan and an okay yisachar, in terms of the level of learning, the intensity, etc., and meaningful, then why are you leaving your shevet and not the other shevet? So a person needs essence of what's my tachlis. I mean, had Avtali Newberg not gone into becoming a menahel of a yeshiva, Walter wouldn't sit. You know, there is a question that a person asks himself: Machavasi Balami, what are Kadosh Baruch Hu put in this world for? What are my kohos? And what can I work with?
Mm-hmm. Is that a question that a person should ask before, you know, after 12th grade? Am I better yisachar, better zvulun?
So I don't think 12th grade is the cutoff point. I think the ikar question should be asked 4 years down the road. Most people really start learning. But at 22, 23, a person should have a good sense of where the wind is blowing and he should be able to work out. So I think I'm going to end up in business. I think I'm going to end up doing this or that or the other thing. Mistama, I need to do something like this to push it along or whatever it is.
I think so. Even Zvulun needs a certain foundation, meaning Kailo, Rabbi is saying, is yes. For Zvulun. That's it. It's not because I'm trying to be Sachar and I'm getting all the way. It's to be the best Zvulun.
That's true. Correct. And especially today's age, where people are more learned, more sophisticated. A person who has a half a brain will not be able to function in a world where his knowledge of Yiddishkeit is the equivalent of a balabas in the 50s in an Orthodox synagogue. It's not going to work. In those days, that's where things worked. People didn't know anything. The rabbi said this, the rabbi said that, and that was it. It was very touching. There was a namuna pshuta, but just like nobody today would tolerate that is kids not know any science and just rely, you know, this is the way it is. People want to understand that this is part of what makes you a person. Same thing with history. That's why we send our kids to school. Nobody's going to use history. Who's going to use history? Who's going to use science? Who's going to use, I mean, Taklas, everybody does the very specific thing that he does. But there's a sense to us that a person who understands broadly makes you a more, what's the right word for it? A more involved participant. And so on. So you can't say in Yiddishkeit, you're left with the rabbi said, this rabbi said this, and this rabbi said that. You need to have a very, very strongly developed Yiddishkeit. Kefi, what's Shaykh?
Because I want to ask Rav Zelig this question of if somebody feels that he could be the best therapist in the world, should he not, you know, learning Kollel, and because this is his tafkid. And yeah. He told me that the shaila of tafkid only starts once you leave yeshiva.
Right.
When you're in yeshiva, there's no shaila of tafkid. You're in yeshiva, and if you could stay your whole life in yeshiva, then you never even get the shaila of tafkid. Once you leave yeshiva, so now we have to clear the shaila. But the way Rebbe's saying is with a different connection.
The truth is for, the normal mouth is a subtle guidance. Lamarsha, let's say somebody at 22, 23, he's just got married, he's in Kollel for a few years. He's going to be in Kollel for years. But you see, he's not going to be, learning is not going to be his main thing, but he's very good with people and so on. So you tell him, take some night courses, do this, do that. You still spend the next few years mostly mainly learning, but you guide the person to do some pool so it doesn't start blank at that point. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important to have somebody to deal it with you. It's not because a Rebbe knows everything. It's because the Rebbe doesn't have the negiyas you have. He has a better overall picture. He's supposed to be in the same Shemayim. And he has a sense of what's appropriate and what's not. How much more learning, how much less learning. You would hope that it's individual. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the Malamed Shem Shemayim, I think this is a very important nikud over here. Malamed Shem Shemayim Shkulin is what? I mean, it's a beauty contest. In other words, don't think Moshe is bigger than Aaron, Aaron is bigger than Moshe. They're both, it's the Negea protocol. What is the Negea, to measure and who's better, who's worse, and so on and so forth. So the answer is, on a personal level, we're not talking about, because it's not negiah to anybody. It makes zero difference. What we're talking about is mitzad their tafkid tziburi, mitzad what they're meant to do for the rabbim, their two anhagas are equal. Now, this also has shaykhis to chesed and din. A melech lays down the laws. The job of a kohen is to be mevarach Klal Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael, be'ava. A kohen that has fights with people can't give anybody a bracha. He's there to bring down a shefa of toiv to Klal Yisrael as Klal Yisrael. Using the language of Olam Haba that he uses, Kol Yisrael Yishan Olam Haba. Klal Yisrael as a kohel has a chelek Olam Haba. Moshe Rabbeinu b'tor melech is somebody who has to lay down the law. Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. The melech is the one who puts down the law. And b'meila, like it says that the famous, there's a Ran and a Rashba brought down in the Beis Yosef, brings him down in Chosh Mishpat, that besides the Ran is in Rosh Aran. Besides the dinim that the Bezen Paskins, are not enough to keep a country under control. They are absolute dinim of what is right and wrong. To run a country practically, you sometimes need to be more strict, less strict, whatever. So therefore, the mahalach is a mahalach of having very clearly defined, this is also per need. So the two, the midas hachesed, midas hadin, have to work in tandem. It's just like the Shemayim when they're talking about holchim, Tokash Baruch Hu said, die. If they wouldn't, and it's almost by definition, if I ask somebody how strong should my braking power on my vehicle be, the answer is as strong as the engine is. In a doima, if I'm schlepping something with a chamor, so sort of the level of braking power that you need is not a lot. Or if you have a supercharged engine that's going really quick, you need very, very strong brakes. It's a hobba hotalia in the zelumaseh.
So So Rabbi, when Rashi says Lamed Shehi Shnei Meshkulim on the Chumash Aaron Moshe, so like Rabbi is saying, which one is greater as far as the beauty pageant we don't care about. So does Rashi mean that it's Klapei their Avoida?
Yes, take a look on the bottom. He brings from a Moshe Feinstein. Fascinating. Take a look. It's on the left-hand column, close to the bottom. But I am as a safer dosh Moshe Lagram Feinstein pas ve'era. Medivra beinu kan nira shemashay shkulim eino b'maylas ha'odem ha'prati. Ela b'tafkid ha'kloli. Shemoshe melech ha'kohen gadol. But I am a safer yad mitzrayim based on Higim Moshe Va'aron, which comes from Shadav, that based Luchos, Moshe Ha'Luchos, Kulul Zebazeh, Mizem Zem Ksuvim, Moikein Moshe Va'aron, Shkulun Kechoda. So the Shkulun Kechoda, it means a little bit different, but what it means is that each one is there clapping the other one. In his lashon, the Rebbe says Yad Aaron, that each one is koil of the other one means that the koyach of going, you know, of the car moving, can't exceed the braking power, and the koyach of the braking power must cover the entire moving. They're working in tandem, so you can't have more of a pull one over the other. Then he brings from Reb Chaim that Briska, that there's a difference between if you're talking about Nevuah or you're talking about the Leon the Reb Chaim Nadiv al Parvat Zopoil from Israel Hikdam Hashanam Volem Hashanem Shkulim. So the so he says it depends more on which inyanim, but I think. I think what Ramesh Feinstein says actually is the one that's the most closest to the heart of Indian. It's the pshat mitzad the koyach hanhaga. These two have to be balanced. The shokel zeh keneged zeh in balance. That each one it's not the word shokel doesn't mean they happen to be equal. They're there balancing each other out. Because their tachlis is to balance each other out. So you can't, the tachlis of the engine is to move you, beyond the speed, and the tachlis beyond the inertia, and the tachlis of the brakes is to bring the movement to a stop.
Is that why Rashi uses the lashon of shakal versus something like shava? Shava means that I have five apples and five apples. Shakal is on a scale. No.
Yeah. Shokel, right. Shokel means exact scale. And one is exerting an effort, a power against the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what?
No, it's the lesson of shokel is more than the other. Not that the.
Yeah. Which shokel means they are. They're not shovim. They're shkulim. You know, shovim means it happens to be equal. Let's give you a marshal in elevators today. Do you have a problem that when an elevator goes up, it's very, very heavy and it takes a lot of power. When an elevator goes down, you could go flying like 100 miles a minute. What they do is they have a counterbalance. So there's the elevator, there's a heavy metal slab going on the side. So the elevator always, whether you're going up or down, it needs the same power because it's always counterbalanced. And in either case, when you're going up, you have the counterbalance helping you pull down. When you're going down, the counterbalance is working against you. You have to push it down. So Lemaisa, the idea is it's counterbalanced and the weight of that counterbalance is going to be equal to the weight of the expected weight or half the expected weight of people in the elevator. Harayim b'sheshanu klema birakus. Harayim b'sheshanu means they leave Klai Yisrael softly. K'mesh kosev lo hiresis echad mehem, elo b'dvarim rakim. So now we're talking about the Anhaga, and we're talking specifically that it was Anhaga that was Berachos. I want to add a point about this. So it's obviously always nice to have Anhaga Berachos. It's pleasant, but I think it's a deeper Nekuda also. When I'm trying to drag somebody from point A to point B, let's say I arrested somebody and I'm trying to drag him to the police station, I'm going to do it in the most efficient way. What's going to get him quickest to the police station, in the fastest way possible. I really don't care about the person. It's not about that person. It's about me getting him to the police station. It's about the other people I want to protect. So Rakus says there's no reason, because this Hanhaga is not Negev. When I'm taking somebody, Litevase, taking a child somewhere, I want to lead him someplace, but since this is Litevase, I'm going to do it in a Derek Rakka, because the Hanhaga is something that I want to do, for the child. So there's a big difference if the Hanhaga is for the child, or the Hanhaga is, is it against the person being money, or for the person being money? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll hold it here.
Okay. Shkach, Rabbi.
Okay, thank you very much again. I know you worked crazy for that whole setup.
Man, it was mostly my wife, which is usually the case.
And it was our pleasure.
We hope we can do it again sometime.
Is that Hashem? Okay.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Have a nice week.